Jesus' name we have worshiped. Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning. We give you glory and honor and praise. We love you, Lord, because you first loved us. And we thank you for all your people that are gathered together today. We declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Let your name be glorified in the message of the Lord, in Jesus' name. And somebody says, Amen. You may be seated. Good morning, and praise the Lord. Welcome. Thank you, praise team. And thank you, everybody, for being here. We welcome you to GMI Church this morning. God bless you. Thanks for joining us. As you all know, we have a celebration today of a wonderful kind, baby dedication. Before we do that, though, I want to share a message with you, and I pray that you just go along with me for a little bit, and I believe that the Lord is going to bless your heart. Today, I'm going to be talking on all kinds of faith. All kinds of faith. And then there's one kind of faith in particular that I will talk about, all kinds of faith, but I want to also give you an acronym for faith in my own version. But if we talk about faith, the first thing that comes to mind is Hebrews 11 and 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence, you know, of things not seen. That's a good definition. I do have an acronym to share with you. You take the word faith, spell it as an acronym, one letter at a time. I will share that with you as one kind of faith that I will talk about today. But I want to talk about all kinds of faith. Now, faith as an acronym can be fully and intentionally trusting Him. So that's an acronym for faith. You can take that with you today. But I want to share with you first on all kinds of faith. There's all kinds of faith that we see in the Bible. We know that without faith, you can't even be saved. So, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, the scripture tells us that it is by grace that we are saved through faith. Now, that means you cannot even be saved without faith. So there is a saving faith, you know, that we have, you know, that the Lord has given us. And this faith is has been dealt to every man, you know, but especially it gets activated through the hearing of the gospel. According to Romans chapter 10, we're told that, you know, faith comes by hearing in verse 17, and hearing by the word of God. But you really can't have the faith unless you hear the word of God. And you can't hear the word of God if nobody is preaching. So somebody's got to preach it. Praise the Lord. Now, faith is really very simple. We don't need to make it too complicated. Sometimes we make a lot of things very complicated, you know. And one time Jesus took a little child, put it in the middle, and said, see this little child right here? You know, except you be converted and become as this little child, you cannot enter. You have no seat at the table. Let's just put it that way. And the little child represents many things, you know. At one time, the disciples were struggling who's going to be the greatest, so Jesus taught them that. But also, the simplicity that's in the mind of the little child. Just to believe. The little child believes what the parent says. The parent says, we're going to do this tomorrow. I'm going to take you there. Or we're going to do this. The little child just believes it without doubting.
And in fact, they're going to be expecting that that thing will happen that the parent has promised. And if the parent is not stepping up, child's going to come there and say, but you said, we are going to the park, you are going to the mall, or you are doing this, and you are doing that. They just believe it when you say it. It's a little faith like that, you know. So, faith also is used for many things, as you know. In the book of Hebrews 11, verse 6, we find out that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible. You know, so let's talk about that for a minute. Why is it impossible to please God without faith? Now, if we are praying and asking for something without, from God without faith, you may not get anything. Because right here it says it's impossible to please God without faith. And it is not exactly your prayer that God answers, it's your faith. If there is no faith, because God has principles. You know, it's not just can cry from morning till night. There's no faith, you know, that prayer may not get answered. But faith must not be misdirected. So that's the other thing. Faith must be placed in the Word of God in order for it to be valid. You cannot just have faith in faith. Just believe. You believe something, you know, whether God has promised it or not, you just believe it. That is not likely going to work. As a matter of fact, I love this verse in Lamentation 3 and 37 that says, who is it that saith anything? We like to decree things, Pentecostals especially. We like to decree, and I decree this, and I decree that. Well, maybe so. But if God has not commanded it, it's not going to happen. So this is what the scripture says. Who is it that saith something that God has not commanded and expects it to come to pass? Well, maybe it will, maybe it won't. But chances are that it will not. Because this scripture says so. Who is it that saith and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? Likely, it will not happen. So, for real faith to be activated, it needs to be based on what God has already commanded. What God has already said. In other words, if God already said it, well, that's the shortest distance between where you are and the answer to that thing. Praise the Lord. Now, if God didn't say it, maybe you can pray a lot, fast a lot, do whatever. Maybe it will come to pass, maybe not. I don't know. But if God already said it. Now, sometimes when God says it too, there are conditions along with that thing. So if God says it, well, that's one area. But also you have to see whether there are some conditions that he gives along with that. But, let's take a look at some examples in the scriptures of how Jesus reacted to some faith. There are some faith in the Bible. There are some stories. Because of time, I'm not going to read all the stories. But there are stories in Matthew chapter 8, stories in Matthew chapter 14, stories in Matthew chapter 15. I'll tell you some of these stories and stories in Mark chapter 4. In some cases, Jesus was not impressed by the faith that people exhibited. In some cases, he was impressed. Well, let's take a look at the difference. Remember, we're talking about all kinds of faith. That is called little faith. In fact, one time Jesus even said, "O ye of little faith." And then he said that also to Peter one time. There was a time that Jesus, the boat has already left the station. Jesus said, "Well, no problem. I'll just walk on the water and catch up with them." So he's just walking on the water and catching up with them. Everybody sees Jesus come and say, "Oh!" At first they thought it's a ghost. And then they look a little closer and say, "That looks like the Lord. Lord, if it is you, bid me come." Well, one person was bold enough to say that. That was Peter, of course. The Lord said, "Come on, Peter." Peter jumps in the water. He steps on the water. Now, listen to this illustration. Peter was stepping out of the water, but he was actually stepping out on Jesus' word. Because what he said was, if it is you, then bid me come. And Peter couldn't do it before until Jesus said, come. But because Jesus said, come, you know, Jesus said the word. And he stepped out, not exactly on the water, but on his word. He stepped out on the word that Jesus said, come. And so Peter is coming. Come on, Peter. Peter said, can I come and play? God said, come on. Peter steps out. Now, I guarantee you, today, a lot of people are saying Peter didn't have any faith. Well, all the other disciples didn't even try it. So Peter, at least he tried. You know, he stepped out on the word of God. But his problem was he did not keep his eyes on the word. You step out on the word, but then you keep your eyes on the word. Because you may start out on the word, and then you allow distractions and all kinds of things. And then the next thing you know, you begin to sink. You know, now, the waves that Peter saw were there all the time. But when his eyes were on Jesus, he was walking on the word. The word that said, come. And he was just walking on that word. Now, when he took his eyes off the word, because he's looking again at the word. Remember, Jesus is the word. When you keep your eyes on the word, you step out on the word, you keep your eyes on the word of promise, then you are walking. And then he looked around and he saw that the waves were boisterous. You know, I mean, the waves were really acting up. I said, I can't walk on water. I can't walk on water. And then he began to drown. Blue, 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 blue. He's now almost drowning because he said, I can't walk on water. Because now he looks around, lifted his eyes off the word. And then all of a sudden, his foundation becomes shaky. You know, the word was carrying him. Come! That's it. The master said, come. And once he says, come, that's it. You step out on that word. And then he stepped out, but, you know, he didn't keep his eyes on the word. So, the analysis of Jesus on that kind of faith was what he said was, oh, you of little faith. Why did you doubt? So Jesus called it little faith when you remove your eyes from the word. You started out on the word, so that's a little faith. That's good. But because you did not stay with the word. When you didn't stay with the word, then it becomes little faith. And then you begin to sink. Well, thank God that he cried out and the Lord saved him. Praise the Lord. There are many situations like that in the Bible where Jesus said, oh, you have little faith. Well, one time, you know, Jesus wasn't there because he was visiting with Moses and Elijah on the mount, you know, Matthew 17. And when he came back, he found out that something had been happening down below. Somebody had brought their child to be delivered, and the rest of the disciples couldn't do it. And they said, well, that's in Matthew 17. They said, well, why couldn't we do it? Jesus said, well, because of your unbelief. But he said, well, but there are some things that you need prayer and fasting for, but first and foremost, because of your unbelief. Now, these are disciples of Jesus that have been hanging out with Jesus for some years. Yet Jesus said, it's your unbelief. You know, unbelief. And now, so that there's all kinds of faith. There is little faith. There is no faith. There is unbelieving kind of thing. You think you believe, but you don't believe. You know. And then, well, there was one man actually that struggled with his faith. You know, this same man, when he came to Jesus, said, look, your disciples couldn't help us. Help me and my son. But if you can do anything, anything at all, just help me. And Jesus said, it's not about whether I can do something, it's whether you can believe. Hallelujah. For all things are possible to him that believes. There's a kind of faith that can believe. And if you can really believe, then all things are possible to you. Now, there were some situations, a couple of situations that Jesus was actually impressed about. I want to talk about those situations. There's one in Matthew chapter 8. There's another one in Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew chapter 8, there was a story of a man called the centurion. Now, many of you know these stories. But the point of the fact was that this man, his faith, when Jesus analyzed it, Jesus was impressed. In the case of the disciples, Jesus was not impressed. Now, these are the people that were following Jesus, hanging out with Jesus, and yet Jesus wasn't impressed with their faith. But there was one man. He wasn't exactly like that with Jesus, but he had known about Jesus. In fact, he was a centurion, a commander of Roman soldiers. And you know, every time the Jews would gather together, they like to cause a riot sometimes. So some of those soldiers were there to make sure everything was in order. So this man could have been there and heard Jesus talk and so forth. You know, so it wasn't exactly one of his disciples that was following him like that. But he had heard Jesus talk, knew who Jesus was, knew the things that Jesus could do. You know, so he comes to Jesus and says, "Look, my servant is grievously ill, you know, and I need your help." And Jesus was saying, "Well, I'm coming." He said, "Master, you don't even need to come. You don't need to come." And Jesus is looking, "Well, why not? I thought you said your servant is sick." He said, "Yeah, but I know that right where you are, standing right there, and even though my servant is miles away, if you speak the word only, my servant at home will be healed." And the Bible says Jesus marveled. Say, "My goodness." He said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, I tell you what, I myself am a man of authority. These things happen in my realm. I understand these things. I command soldiers. When I tell one go, he goes. When I tell one come, he comes. Do this, he does it. Do that, they do it. You know, when I give them command, they do it. So I understand how this thing works. Now, I could not give command to the sickness, but I know you can. Hallelujah. You speak the word. Just like I know how to speak the word to my servants and those soldiers under me. I speak the word and they do it. You speak the word and it will be done." My goodness. This was not even one of the disciples. It wasn't one of the disciples. It was just somebody that understood how faith works. He used his own situation to understand it. He said, "Look, I understand how these things work, you know." And in a way, you know, it was like, you know, things around you obeying your word. That was this man's definition of faith. In his head, it's like, "Look, people around me, they obey me. I tell them to do stuff. Well, in your realm, you can speak to the sickness and it will obey you." And Jesus said, "Wow, I have not seen so great faith, not even in all of Israel. I haven't seen it." He was impressed. That's called great faith. Hallelujah. Now, what kind of faith do you have? There was a woman called the Syrophoenician woman in Matthew chapter 15. A Greek woman came to Jesus. Her daughter was sick, you know. "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus didn't even answer her. Because, number one, she had no right to call Jesus son of David. Son of David title belongs to Israel. Israel can call him son of David. You cannot. Because you're not even of the household of Israel. What are you calling him son of David for? So Jesus didn't even pay attention. He paid attention, but he did like he didn't pay attention. So didn't answer her. He said it again. And so Jesus said, "Look, that son of David title is not for you. I cannot take the children's bread, which belongs to those who can call me son of David, and give it to you who really can't call me son of David." And so the woman said, "Of a truth, Lord, that has well spoken. But I tell you what," she looked for and found a loophole, a loophole in what Jesus said. That's right. He said, look, it is true that the children's bread should not be given to dogs. But the dog that is lying on the floor next to the table will eat of the crumbs of that bread that falls to the floor. Jesus looked and said, my goodness, there's another one. You know, she said, look, I may not be entitled to the bread, but there is something that's going to fall off of that table to the floor that I can get. I said, that's good enough for me. Praise the Lord. And Jesus said, wow. You know, great is thy faith, O woman. You know, now, Jesus already knew all of these things would play out. You know, if you don't think that Jesus already knew the end of that conversation before the beginning, then you don't know Jesus at all. Jesus already knew that conversation. He told Nathanael, before that, I didn't call you when you were under the fig tree. I saw you there. I said, oh, really? Yeah. You know, so Jesus already knew that, but, you know, allow this story to play out so that we can learn something. And what do we learn from this woman? Well, we learn that this woman, well, of course, it was her daughter that was grievously ill. So she was fighting for her daughter's life. But this woman would not be denied. Hello, somebody. This woman, there is a kind of faith that will not take no for an answer. This woman would not be denied. Jesus said no twice. But, you know, but this woman said no. She said no to the no. You know, I'm going to get something today. Praise the Lord. I'm going to find a loophole in this thing. Somewhere here, there's a blessing for me. Hallelujah. You know, and Jesus honored that. Yeah, Jesus knew all these things, but he honored it. You know, every time, and Jesus told us some stories. In Luke chapter 18, he told us some stories. He said, you know, in verse 1, he told these things to the intent that people ought always to pray and not to faint. So here's another kind of faith that's called persistent faith. You know, faith that will not give up, same like that woman. You know, so there was in a city a judge, a wicked judge that cared about nobody. And there was this woman that went to her, to him, and said, judge, avenge me of this. And she presented her case. And the judge said, just ignored her. You know, she stayed there from morning till night. When the courthouse closed, they drove her away. She came back the next day. She came back the next day. She would stay all day long. They didn't even answer her because she was not on the docket anyway. So they did all the things they were doing. And then the woman, go away. The courthouse closes. She went away. She came back the next day. And she kept bothering him. The cases were going on. She would stand up. Judge! He said, get her out of there. You know, she'll come back. Judge! So finally, the man is thinking, I need to get rid of this woman. I got to get rid of her. Because she's bothering me. She's disturbing my courthouse. You know, what does she want anyway? Somebody says to the judge, well, you know, you haven't heard her. You know, so, okay, well, the only way that I'm going to get rid of her is to actually do what she wants. If I do what she wants, then she will leave me alone. So this judge said, look, it's not because I really care about you. I don't know what the problem of the judge was. He's supposed to care, but he didn't. Whether it was some kind of prejudice or whatever, I don't know. But he didn't care. He didn't say, well, I don't care. But if I don't do something about this woman, she's going to weary me. So he said, I'm going to do what she wants. Appoints an officer, take care of her. Hallelujah. Now, not because he cared, but because the woman was pestering him. And Jesus told this story himself. And said, see or hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God himself avenge his own elect? That cry unto him day and night, though he tarry long with them. Shall he not? Said, I tell you what, he will avenge them speedily. Hallelujah. But then he said a powerful, profound statement in verse 8 of Luke 18. He said, nevertheless, see,
I tell you,
he said,
he will avenge his elect speedily. But nevertheless, when the Son of Man shows up in your situation that you have been believing God for, will he find you still believing? Huh? That's what he says. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now you say, well, that's talking about the rapture. Maybe so. But Jesus wasn't talking about rapture here. He was talking about somebody getting their prayers answered. A woman getting her needs met. And he said, God will avenge you. Well, God will respond to you. But when the Son of Man finally shows up in that situation that you have been believing God for, will you still be at the point of faith? Or will you have run off? Most people run off when the answer is just around the corner. That's when they run off. They've been believing God. Long hope wearies the heart. So they are believing God. They are believing God. One day it's like, I don't know about this stuff, you know. Somebody like Sarah, she did that. She was believing God for many years. The word of promise, she was believing. Finally, she said, look, I don't know about this stuff. I mean, this whole, believe God, believe God, believe God. Maybe that's not what God meant. You see, now that's right there is a voice of reason. The voice of reason is very subtle and very dangerous. When you begin to reason the word of God, instead of believing it, well, maybe God didn't really mean that. Maybe, well, let's see. If we did it like this, the Lord said, I am he that stretched forth the heavens alone. I made the earth by myself. I didn't need any help then, and I don't need any help now. And I can take care of your situation. I don't need any help. But he said, well, let me help God a little bit. Well, we're still feeling the effects of that. Help God a little bit till today. The Arabs are still at the neck of Israel. And they are still at each other's necks. Yeah. Try to help God like that. Help yourself by believing God. That's all you need to do. Just believe his word. You know, so Jesus said, you know, will he find faith? He told another story in Luke chapter 11. You know, he said, look, do you know that the way people get things, even from their friends, is not necessarily sometimes because they are their friend. He said, it could be the same like this woman's case. You're troubling the judge. So he told a story. He said, look, there was a man who went to his friend at midnight and knocked and said, can I borrow some loaves of bread? The stores are closed and I now have a visitor that came from out of town and I have nothing to give him. And the stores are now closed. And the man from within said, go away. My kids, actually, he didn't speak as loud as, go away. My kids are sleeping. You know, go away. And the man did not go away. The man knocked a little bit louder. Can I have some bread? I'll give you back tomorrow when the store's open. Go away. My kids are sleeping. So the man continued to knock louder. And so the man from inside said, look, I got to do something. Otherwise, this woman is going to wake up the whole family. If I don't get up and give him, not because he's my friend, it's midnight. He knows not to come to my house at midnight. You know, but in order for me to not have him wake up my whole house, I'm going to give him what he wants to get rid of him. Praise the Lord. Now, Jesus has a sense of humor. He told all these stories. And he said, look, I said, the man will get up and give him as many loaves as he wants, not because he's his friend. The friend, all right, but that wasn't enough to get him up at midnight. But because if he did not get up, he will wake up the whole house. So he got up and gave him. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 62 and verse 7, the scripture says this, ye that make mention of the Lord, hallelujah, you know, give him no rest until he establish and make Jerusalem a praise. You know, give him no rest. What does that mean? Well, let's read it from the previous verse. Give him no rest. He said, I have set watchmen upon your walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day They will never hold their peace. And he said, ye that make mention of the Lord. When you stand to make your prayer to the Lord, in the name of the Lord, don't give him any rest. And Jesus, he was saying the same thing in those parables as this thing here. Don't give the Lord any rest. Now, that's a kind of faith that we call persistent faith. Faith that will never give up. Say, because of her importunity, I'm going to do this, otherwise she will wear me out. Because of the importunity of the friend that's not... Now, if you go to your friend's house and you see their car in the driveway, then you know they're home. So you go to the door and you knock. if you really want to see them, because you know they're there, the car is right there, so they must be there. You're not going to just knock and walk away. A lot of people do that. Sometimes we ask God for something. You know, Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock. How do you spell ask? A-S-K. A is for ask, S is for seek, and K is for knock. That's how you spell. There are times when you ask, there are times when you seek, there are times when you knock. But it's all about asking. When you knock, do you just walk away? You don't wait to be answered. Well, some days they do that now when they come bring delivery to your house. They just ring the bell, leave the thing, and go. You know, because it's contactless delivery now since COVID. They don't even want to, you know. So, but are you doing contactless prayer requests with God? You just put your prayer out there and walk away, and you don't even believe enough to keep on believing until you get it. Jesus said, look, and some people get confused. They say, well, I prayed about it already, so I don't need to pray again. Well, why not? Jesus said that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, you can mingle that prayer request with thanksgiving, but you should always pray and not to faint. Now, when you pray, though, Jesus said this in the book of Mark 11. He talked about this in verses 23 and 24. He said, look, here is how you should do it. When you have a situation that you are dealing with, well, you know, this is a different kind of faith. Because if you read in verse 22, he said, have faith in God. That's where he started. Have faith in God. Some translation says, have the faith of God. Well, I say, have faith in God. And Jesus said, look, if you look at this situation that looks impossible, mountains cannot be removed. In fact, Psalm 125 tells you that. You know, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so is the Lord around his people. You know, these mountains cannot be removed. He tells you, you know, you can't just remove mountains. Very, very difficult. But Jesus said, no, so it's like when you face a situation that is impossible. Impossible situation. But remember, impossible is nothing with God. There is nothing called impossible with God. Possible with you, maybe if you don't have faith. But Jesus said, even for you too, if you have faith, you can be almost like God. Because with God, nothing is impossible. And neither shall anything be impossible to him that believes. So, it's not impossible to God. It's not impossible to you too when you believe his word. Now, it's his word, though, that makes the difference. If he didn't say it, and believe all you want, it's not going to happen, you know. But when he has said it. Now, so, well, as Jesus talked about removing mountains, well, absolutely, he says it right here, you know. Speak to the mountain, he said. tell this mountain that is in your way. You know, certain mountains, you either have to climb them, you either have to speak to them to move. You run around them, you do whatever, but don't let the mountain stop you. Hallelujah. David said, by my God, I run through troops. By my God, I leap over walls. I don't care if it's a mountain or whatever, I'm going through anyway. Praise God. So when you see the mountain is blocking you, say to that mountain. And Jesus didn't say pray to the mountain. Say to the mountain, be thou removed. And be thou cast into yonder place and sea or whatever.
And he said, look. And he gave some conditions here. If you say it and you do not doubt it, but you believe it, you shall have whatsoever you say. It's so powerful. It looks so simple, but it's so powerful. And Jesus said it that way. And this is the kind of faith that I want to emphasize before we close.
The kind of faith that takes God at his word. Fully and intentionally trusting him. God has said it. I believe it. I say it. I expect it. Nothing doubting is coming to pass.
Some months ago, I gave an acronym here at the church. I love acronyms. So I do that for myself. Sometimes I share it with people. I gave the acronym about the word everybody here, you know, knows how to say amen. Say amen. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. So I gave an acronym here, and I'm going to give it to you also. It lines up with this subject of faith. This is how it works. Amen. Think of it as an acronym, just like faith. Fully and intentionally trusting him. F-A-I-T-H. Think of amen as an acronym. A-M-E-N. Well, what might that mean on the subject when you are aligning with the subject of faith? Simple. The A is for you to affirm what God already said. Now, if God didn't say it, don't waste your time. Find out what God said first. That's how you do it. Praise the Lord. Now, when God has said it, if you can affirm what he said, the M is for you to mean it. Say it like you mean it. Don't say it and then doubt it, you know. Say it like you mean it. Now, that's the M. The E is for you to expect what you said because God said it first. And then the N is nothing doubting. It's that simple. So the next time you say amen, and we're going to say amen to some prayers here in a minute. The next time you say amen, that's what you are really doing. Now, don't be saying amen to something you don't understand. That's why Paul said, look, somebody is speaking in tongues and so forth. Don't say amen because you don't know what they're saying. If you don't understand, you should be speaking in tongues too because you don't understand what they're saying. Well, we're both speaking in tongues. You don't understand me, I don't understand you. You know, equation balanced. But if you are going to say amen, you need to understand what they are saying. Now, God has spoken plainly to us. It's now left for the church to say amen. Hallelujah. Now, when you take God's word, the kind of faith that you should live here today with is the faith that is always intentionally trusting him. You know that he has said it. You believe it. You affirm it. You mean it. You expect it. You don't doubt anything. It shall come to pass. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, we need to develop our faith. You know, don't be of little faith. But Jesus said, well, even if you had little faith, if you know how to use it right, it can help you. It's called mustard seed faith in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. He said, if you have faith as little as this grain of mustard seed, well, you can do great things with it. So, if we are not able to do anything, maybe we don't have any faith at all. Because Jesus said, you don't need a whole lot, just use what you got. Yeah. Use what you got. Now, faith is this currency that works in heavenly places. The way it works, though, quite unlike the money that you have in your wallet, the money you have in your wallet and the money you have in your bank, the more you use, the less you have. You know, if you have $20 and you spend $5 of it, now all of a sudden you only have $15. You know, that's how your currency here works. The currency that works in the realm of the spirit is called faith. The more you use it, the more you have. When you use it, it works for you. and you see the greatness of God, you give God the glory, it encourages you to use it even more. So use your faith. Use what you already got. They came to Jesus, they said, increase our faith. Jesus said, look, it's not about increasing your faith. Use what you already got. The little that you have, if you use it right, you know, it can do great things for you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But then it is also good to increase your faith. You increase your faith by submersing yourself in the Word of God. If you don't know the Word of God, how are you going to know if God already said it? You got to know the Word of God. You need to know what God has said. And I often tell people, if God didn't say anything about it, then you don't need to know. You know, there's a question you have, and there's no answer for it in this Bible. That's not a question that you should have. You don't need to know. That's the way I go. I'm looking for something. If I can't find it somewhere here, then I don't need to know. But if I need to know it, then God's got an answer in the Bible. And I'm going to find that answer. Praise the Lord. Do a little research before you even pray. Find what God has said about the situation. That's how you grow your faith. And when God has said it, now you have ammunition. You now know it is what God already said. It's not just what I'm making up. God said it already. Hallelujah. Praise God. So because God said it and I believe it, well, then I can say it like as if it was God that's saying it. That's right. You just say it. Praise God. This microphone and these speaker systems that are here, if they are working right, what are they doing? They are telling you in your ears what I'm already saying. Praise the Lord. Microphone cannot say something different. If it says something different, it's not working right. You know, so I'm saying it. Microphone is transmitting it. And you're hearing it. Praise the Lord. So, God already said it. Bible says in the book of Psalm 68 and verse 11, you know, when God speaks, he's looking for people to publish that word. The Lord gave the word, and great is the company of those that publish it. Now, are you going to be part of that company that publishes God's word? In other words, you say what God says, not what you think, and not what you say, but what he says. Praise the Lord. Well, that's my exhortation today. I'm going to keep it brief because I want to do something else that many of you are here for today. But first, before we do that, we're going to pray and exercise a little faith. Let's exercise a little faith. You know, faith is by practice. Practice, 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 practice. Having your senses exercised by practicing. Practice the presence of the Lord. Practice the word of the Lord. Practice, 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 practice. Well, you know, it's like when we are a child and we're, you know, a parent is watching that child trying to learn how to walk. Sometimes they'll fall. You know, and when they take their first step, everybody's so excited. They got their cameras out and so forth. It's just one step. Everybody's so excited because that's their first step. So at the time that child is grown and running all over the place, nobody is taking a camera of their first steps anymore. So in the same way, we don't need to be babies anymore when it comes to faith. Grow your faith. Hallelujah. Grow your faith. You know, how do you do it? Well, find out the deep things of God. What he has said in the scriptures. You believe it. You say it like you mean it. You put your heart behind it. And God is going to confirm his word. Now, if your word is always his word, then it will be as if God is confirming your word. But it's really his word that you is confirming, but you are speaking his word. He said, you know, in Isaiah 44, he said, I am he that confirmeth the counsel of my messengers. Well, those messengers, because they are speaking his word. You know, God doesn't confirm anything that is not his word. So, when you speak his word and God confirms it, it's like God confirming your word. Because your word is his word. And his word is your word. Praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet. We are going to practice something. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to practice faith. Praise the Lord. We're going to practice faith. And this time around, you have learned what amen really means. So, you have also learned what faith really means. Fully and intentionally trusting Him. And when you step out on the word, you keep your eyes on the word. You know, so, we're going to practice a little faith. There is not a person here in this room today that does not, you know, need something from the Lord. So, this thing that we need from the Lord, let's take a moment. See in your mind, do a little bit of research. Has God said anything about this thing that I'm believing for? If you don't know the answer to that, don't pray. Don't pray right now. Just defer the prayer. Take some time. Go figure it out. But if you can figure out and find a promise that God has said, hallelujah. Hallelujah, somebody. It's like, what? If you need healing, the Lord says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. It's already in the scriptures. You know, whatever it is that you need guidance. You say, what? The Lord is my shepherd. He guides me, leads me beside the still waters. Whatever you need. There's something that God's already said about it. So let's take a moment. I want you to zero in on the thing that you are believing God for. You know, praise God. Just zero in on it, your mind. And you know, in this prayer, it is good to be specific. Specificity is very important. Don't be all over the place when you are trying to use your faith with God. Be specific. So Jesus said, the child that asks his father for bread will not get a stone. So that's why you've got to be specific. But if that child had asked the father, give me something, it will be within the father's right to give him a stone. Because he asked for something. The stone is something. But if you ask specifically for bread, you will not get a stone. Can somebody say amen? So let's be specific. Zero in on what you want, and we're going to pray together. And I'm going to believe the Lord with you. Praise God. Now, I am trusting that you can find a scripture because the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance. You know, so I'm trusting that you can find a scripture for what you are believing God for. Then we're going to pray together. If any two of you, Jesus said, shall believe God together. That's another faith based on agreement. Well, if you agree with the word of God, that God already said about the situation you are praying over, and I agree with you, and that makes two of us. And that takes care of it. So let's pray. Let's lift up our hands and praise the Lord. Just thank God. And just pray and say, Lord, this thing, you know, zero in on it. Don't let your mind go all over the place. There's this thing that I'm believing you for. And your word has said, you said, you know, tell God what he said about that thing that you're believing God for. You said such and such. And I am believing your word. I am affirming your word. And I mean it when I say so. And I'm also expecting it. And I'm doubting nothing. Now that's your amen right there. So Father, I thank you for all your children that are here today. For everyone that is believing you for one thing or another. We thank you because the word of God is forever settled in heaven. Now let it also be settled in the hearts of your children. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, Lord, we thank you for whatever it is according to your word that they are believing for. We agree and we say amen in Jesus' name. Now somebody say amen. Amen. Now say it like you mean it. Amen. Lord bless you all. Give your hand. Give the Lord a big round of applause. Praise God. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Praise God.